coming, girl.
Don't worry, girl. We're getting the fuck out of here.
Final Girl Project.
Hello. Welcome to Final Girl Project. I am with
Jesse Candelaria, and I am with
Amanda Martinez, and we like to watch scary movies featuring final girls, and anybody can be a final girl. You can be a final girl, final boy, final non-binary person. As long as you're a fighter and a badass, you're a final girl.
That's right. We love to have emphasis on the kicking ass and being a badass bitch. Anyone can be a final girl, like Amanda said. It doesn't matter who you are, what your identity is. You have the will to survive and kick ass. You are a final girl. And with that, we're going to talk about the film for this episode, which is I Know What You Did Last Summer. And it has Jennifer Love Hewitt, and it came out in 1997. I did watch it in the theater, girl.
That's awesome, girl. I did not get to watch it in the theater, but it's still nostalgic, you know, just
it's a awesome. Really good it's a film. Classic. Yeah, it's a yeah. good film. She was 18 when this came out, or like when she filmed it, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she had already been on a TV show for a long time, right? So she was already kind of famous.
Yeah, she started young. She started acting and she was on the TV show. And then later on, she came out with like a couple of albums. She sings. Yeah, I'm a fan.
That's awesome. We love her. She plays Julie James in this movie, and she's great.
So also, I forgot to mention, and I think I've told you this before, but I read the book when I was 12 years old. And then, yeah, and then I saw this movie when I was, I think I was 16 or 17 when I saw this.
That's so cool. How did the movie compare to the book?
The book, I just remember I was like 11 or 12 and I read the book and I was like, it was very captivating. It was about four friends, you know, and similar to the movie where the accident happens and they kill this man and they're all kind of hush-hush about it and they hide the fact that they've killed this man and then they start receiving these letters that are being mm-hmm. dropped off like at their home or their residence and showing up in the mailbox. And I just remember like being 11 or 12 and I got it from the library and, you know, I checked it out and I fell in love with the book and I liked it. And then fast forward, like whatever it was, 5 years later, there was this movie that came out about it. I was like, oh my God, I want to see this because I read the book when I was a younger kid.
That's awesome. I love that feeling, a book that you've read and you weren't expecting it to be a movie. And then a few years later, they make a movie about it. Mm-hmm. It's just I get so excited. Yeah. I get so excited about that.
Well, when we,
and it's such a good movie.
It is. When we picked this movie, I was like, I really need to get my hands on an old copy of that book because I would just love to have it like on my shelf at home because it brings yeah. back good memories. And when I read that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And the scene opens up with like this beautiful oceanic scene, right, girl? Like the camera's just panning over these waves in the ocean and this song is playing and you see this guy that has a pendant, like a necklace or a pendant in his hand. And I think it says love you on it and he flicks it and it kind of spins and it's made of maybe silver or something. And it's just this guy in overalls and he's sitting at the edge of a cliff and it looks like he's drinking and we know that it's the 4th of July, right?
Yes, yeah, we see the fireworks. He's kind of watching the fireworks. And he seems a little bit paranoid. He seems kind of, you know, pensive at first. He's kind of staring off into the ocean, kind of flipping the little pendant. And then we see the fireworks, and he sort of hears a noise behind him, or it seems like he thinks he hears a noise. And he turns around. He looks kind of paranoid. But, you know, we don't know what the noise was. We don't know what's going on.
In hindsight, right? Like it makes sense. Yes. After you watch the movie, you're like, oh, okay. Like he kind of had a feeling that someone was around or someone was maybe stalking him or watching him.
Yes. Yeah. There's a reason he was paranoid.
And
absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And so like the next thing they show is the Croker Queen pageant. Julie James's friend, Helen, is there and she's on stage. She's one of the contestants. And we see that it's Julie James, her boyfriend Ray, which is played by the very hot, cute Freddie Prinze Jr., and then Barry, who is played by Ryan Phillippe. And so they're all, like, on this second-level balcony, right, girl?
Yes, yeah, they're on this second-level balcony, and they're watching their girl Helen on the stage. And it's cute. It's just, like, a little bit of banter. And Helen's boyfriend is super excited. You know, he's like, Barry is Helen's boyfriend. He's like, that's my girlfriend. You know, he's proud of her. She looks gorgeous. And Helen makes kind of a speech. She says, well, you know, at summer's end, I plan to move to New York City to become a serious artist, and I plan to serve my country through art. And Ray asks Julie, our girl, Julie James, he asks Julie, he's like, did you feed her that line? Because apparently that's not something that Helen would say. Julie seems like she's the smart one, or the quote unquote smart one of the group. And she kind of smiles. It looks like she did feed Helen that line, but it worked.
Yeah.
And our girl Helen wins, right?
Yeah. Well, Julie, you're right. Julie's got the intellect. She's very intellectual. And I think she's just methodical, and she's a really good thinker. And so it definitely makes sense. I picked up on that too. I was like, oh, okay. Now that Ray says that, it's indicative that she did help Helen, her good friend or her best girlfriend, with this speech. And I also love that Julie says, she says, like, look at her, she was born to do this. And then they're like talking, like the two guys, Ray and Barry, and Ray's like, oh, I had no idea her breasts are so ample. And then Barry's like, dude, she does these push-ups to like pump them up. And then Julie's like, guys, I'm on sexist overload as it is, kill the commentary.
Right? I love her. Like, she kind of, I feel like she's kind of bothered by the idea of a beauty pageant, but also she wants to be there for her friend. So she's like, we're going to do this. Let's do this. I'll help you with your speech. You're going to win. But she's also kind of like, she wouldn't be in a beauty contest herself, I feel like. Right, girl?
Yeah, no, I don't think she would, but you could tell she was like being genuine, and she was supportive of Helen for sure. She's like, this is what she wants. This is what she's going for. I'm going to help her with her speech. And
Yeah, she's a good friend. She's smart, and she's a good friend, and we already love this about her.
Yeah. So then after the pageant's over, Julie and Helen are walking, and I think they're near the port area. They're outside by the water, and Helen sees her sister, Elsa, and we like Elsa because not only is she a bitch, but in this moment, Elsa offers a ride to Helen, and I guess Helen turns her down and kind of insinuates that she's going to be out late, right, girl?
Yes, yeah, and Elsa's kind of a bitch. It's kind of funny. She just kind of shoots her down.
Yeah, I think Elsa's like, oh, is little Miss Croker getting sautéed tonight? And then Helen says, oh, a twit with a wit. And she's like, eat me. They're just, like they get along, but I don't know. There's like some sibling rivalry there, I think.
There's definitely some sibling rivalry. They definitely annoy each other. And I feel like Helen maybe looks at Julie as more of a sister than Elsa. Kind of in a weird way, but yeah, Elsa is not nice, but we are entertained.
Yeah.
And so our girl Julie bumps into a guy named Max at this party. It's sort of a block party, and it's 4th of July, and it seems like the whole town is there. And she bumps into a guy named Max, and he offers her an oyster. He's like, you know, on the house. And she says, oh, you know, thanks, but no, I have this mental block. I can't get past the slime. And I feel like that part made me laugh, because I feel like she's not just talking about the slimy oysters. I feel like she's kind of calling Max slimy.
Oh.
She's like, dude, I'm not into you,
oh,
right?
Shit. I don't know. I didn't pick up on that. I thought she, because I can't tell. They look like they're childhood friends, or like they've known each other like in middle school and high school maybe. And there's that kind of feeling that Max thinks he's got a shot, or like he's into Julie, but she's kind of drawing the line in the sand where she's just like, yeah, no, like this is only platonic. And yeah, he has that oyster shooter that he tries to give her. And I think I tried it back in like, I don't know, girl, like 2016, 2017 in Maryland. And like Julie, I didn't know until I tried it, but it's gross. Like they put vodka, tomato, and then the oyster in there. And like I swallowed it. I swear I wanted to throw up. And you with textures more than anyone,
oh,
I think you would.
No.
Yeah. Like I think you would be like with me and be like, no, thank you. So for me, just one and done. Like I would never do that again.
Yeah. Wow. No, I would not be able to even swallow it. I cannot. I really cannot get past the slime. Right? I can't do it.
When yeah. she said that, I can't get past the slime. I'm like, now that I know, having done that later on in life, I'm like, that's what she meant.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not joking. There's actual slime in there. And I feel like, you're right. They have like this platonic friendship. They've been friends forever, but Max definitely has a crush on Julie and she's a very nice person. So she's not, you know, going to be rude to him or whatever, but she is definitely not into him.
And of course, Barry sees, and Barry and Ray seem to have some type of agreement where they watch each other's girls and, you know, I guess Barry has promised Ray to watch over Julie if he's ever not around and this and that. So Barry starts shit with Max and tells him to take a hike. And then Helen kind of intervenes and she yells, Barry, they're just friends. And then Ray, you know, steps in and Ray kind of stops it from escalating and getting into a fight where it's Barry fighting, you know, Max. And I guess he just tells him, Barry tells Ray and says, look, I'm just looking out for your girl like I promised. And he's like, thanks, buddy. But it kind of stops right there, right?
Yeah, he's kind of like, thanks, buddy, but we're going to get you out of here. And then he doesn't say, you know, we got to take you out of here. But they go to the beach. They decide to go to the beach and leave the party.
I have a Barry question, girl.
Already drunk.
Yeah, Barry is already drunk. But I have a question for you. What do you think about, like, when they were already getting ready to leave, and then Julie just kind of looks at Max and she's like, bye. And you can tell she kind of feels bad for like the argument that started, but she's also like, there's nothing here between us. I don't know. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's just she was just being courteous as a person because she, you know, she's known him her whole life. This is a very small fishing town. Everybody knows everybody. And she's a nice person. So she doesn't, you know, and he kind of just got pushed around and kind of embarrassed at the party. So she feels bad about that. But she's also like firmly not into this dude.
Yeah. So then, like you said, Helen makes a suggestion saying like, oh, we should all go down to Dawson's Beach. So they take off and the four friends gather on the beach and they've got like a fire going. And Ray starts telling the story of this urban legend. It's about a man that was a killer and he ends up having like a hand for a hook. And it's kind of getting creepy with the details. And they all kind of chime in with what their version of it is or how it resulted in the end. And some were saying like, oh, he had this. And I think Julie ends up saying like, no, he had a hook instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a hook. And Julie says, no, he wasn't decapitated. You know, he was gutted with a hook. So it's funny because Julie is just a very nice person, but also her version of the story was the most gruesome, which I liked.
Yeah. And Barry says, hey, none of it really happened. It's a bullshit ghost story to begin with. And Ray says, no, it's not. It's true. And Julie says, please, it's a fictional story created to warn off young girls of the dangers of having premarital sex.
I love that. And this is where what people are referring to when they say that she's the smart one. She's just like, no, no, no. I've researched these urban legends. This is what it really, really means when you get down to it.
Right? Yes. And Ray's hilarious. He says, well, actually, honey, and you know how terrified I am of your IQ. It's an urban legend, American folklore, and they all usually originate from some real life incident. And he says it with such seriousness, and then he smiles at the end.
It's so cute. It's very cute. They're like the little connection between Ray and Julie is very cute. I love that.
I like how she rolled her eyes when he said about her IQ.
Right? I bet she gets tired of them talking about how smart she is because she's like, I'm not trying to stand out for being smart. That's just, it's just the way I roll.
Yeah, she's not an asshole. She's a thinker and she uses her brain. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And she's very smart, but she's humble.
She is. She's humble. And I like that it's not excessive and over the top. It just is, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It just is. So she's talking to Ray and our girl Helen is playing with the sparkler because it's 4th of July. She's kind of running around the beach with a sparkler and talking about her future with her boyfriend, and she has it all planned out. You know, she already told us that she plans to go to New York and become an actress. And she's telling him, you know, my contract for this show will be up. And, you know, your first year as a pro football player will be ending at the same time. And we can elope to Europe. We can have 3 kids. So she's deep into this fantasy of what's going to happen after high school.
Helen's an airhead. I'm just kidding.
Poor Helen. She just has no idea. All these things are actually possible to her. And she's...
Yeah, she jumps on Barry and she's straddling and they're making out by the fire. And then Julie goes walking and she's looking for Ray on the beach. And she's like, Ray, and she's calling out to him. And then all of a sudden behind her, you hear like, I'm going to hook you. And he's chasing her. And she's like, ah, she's screaming. And they kind of have an intimate shared moment where she says, God, you know, like, I'm going to miss you. And he says, you don't have to. You can always ditch this Boston thing and come to New York with me. And she says, yeah, well, we can't all sit in a village coffee house and ramble esoterically on our laptops. There just isn't enough room. And he says, see, nobody gets me the way that you do. And she says, I understand your pain. And he's like, precisely. So it sounds like they each have their own future plans. Like, she's going to go off to college. He's going to go to New York, supposedly, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're all basically talking about their futures. They all have big plans. And they're all kind of excited about everything. So the last year of high school, it seems like they've been besties for a while, and they're all just excited about the future. It's very cute. And then Ray's kind of trying to talk her into kind of staying with him. And he's like, you know, the rate of high school sweetheart relationships is higher than any other type of relationship. And our girl Julie is smart, and she was like, cite your source. And it's kind of cute. And they just kind of start making out.
I love that part when he tells her that. And she's like, oh yeah, cite your source. And he touches his heart. And then Julie gives him a look, like a very specific look, and a hint that like she's ready to finally be intimate with Ray. Because I think up to this point, I don't think they've had sex.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think that this is the night, and he's kind of sweet. And he's like, are you sure? And she's like, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we don't see it or anything. It's not graphic, but we know what happened. It's very romantic.
I like that. I like that it's not graphic, because like she falls on her side to the sand. And they just have clothes on and they just start hugging and kissing, and it's cute. And like, right, you're right though. You know what ends up happening. So like a few minutes later, the four of them are getting ready to leave Dawson's Beach. And Barry's acting kind of like a shit, because he's like, nobody drives this car except me, shit smear. I think he's telling like Ray shit like that. And Ray's like, you're trash.
Yeah, Barry's wasted. Barry's been wasted since the party, and he's kept drinking on the beach. Like, he's definitely wasted. He's drinking right now. He has a bottle in his hand right now. And he's like, nobody drives my car but me. And Ray's like, no. And everybody really is like, no, you're not going to drive this car. You're wasted. So he reluctantly agrees to let Ray drive.
Girl, I think what did it was Helen. Doesn't she whisper? She's like, come sit in the back with me. I'll let you do things to me.
Yes. Yeah. Helen's the one that finally convinces him. So he gets in the back with Helen. He keeps drinking, of course.
Didn't she say, I'll let you molest me with my permission?
Basically, yeah. She was like, get in the back and we can do dirty shit, you know, behind their backs. Just like.
Oh my God. So ratchet, but so fun.
And effective. He got in the back right away.
It worked, she knows didn't how to, it? Right?
Yeah, she knows how to deal with her man.
So you're right. They're going down this, like, it's a mountain, right? And it's got curves. And so they're driving down the hill. And it has the ocean scene, and it's also the same scenery that we saw at the beginning of the film where this man was sitting there with a pendant flicking it, right, girl?
Yes, yeah, it's the same area from the beginning of the movie where the man was earlier, and it was the same day. It was 4th of July, and it's still 4th of July. We're having 4th of July parties still. So we're in the same area.
I just had a thought. So sorry to interrupt you, but we should totally have like a 4th of July, I Know What You Did Last Summer party theme.
I'm so up for that. That sounds awesome.
Right?
Let's do it.
I'm down.
Let's do it. I'm excited.
Please continue.
So Barry, you know, Barry's in the back and he, you know, he's molesting Helen a little bit. But he's still drinking liquor just straight out of the bottle, just straight up, straight to the head. And he opens the sunroof and he's like standing out of the sunroof and he's like, woo, and he's drinking this liquor. And he also changes the music. The music was on some, I think it was Julie's music. And he was like, what is this? And he changed it and it's some hard rock, right? It's some hard rock because that's the mood that he's in. And he's out of the sunroof with his bottle. And he's just like, woo, and he's having the best time.
Poor Ray's trying to keep it real, right? Like, Ray's trying to keep it real, and he's driving the car. Ray is not trashed. I don't think he had a lot to drink, if he did drink at all, but I think he's definitely more sober, which is why he's driving. But like you said, Barry's just going wild. The sunroof is open. He's standing up, and then he ends up dropping the bottle.
Yes. Yeah. So Ray is driving, and Barry's sticking out of the sunroof. Barry drops the bottle onto Ray. And Ray looks down, gets distracted because it's an open bottle. It's just full of liquor. It's just getting all over him. And he just got distracted for just a second. He's like, hey, you asshole, what's wrong with you? And then Barry screams, watch out.
Watch out.
And they hit something. Yeah. And they hit something. And the car kind of skids. Barry's still sticking out of the sunroof. He's kind of holding on for dear life. And the car is spinning. And there was a couple seconds where when I first watched it, I was like, are they going to go over the side of this cliff? It's like a windy road on a mountain. But they stay on the road. Barry's, you know, kind of okay. But they definitely hit something. Barry's face is covered with blood. Mm-hmm. And Helen's like, oh, my God, you're bleeding. And Barry says, it's not mine. You know, don't worry about it. It's not mine. So there's blood on his face, but it's not his. And then he notices the dent in the front of his car.
Yeah.
And he's like, Jesus Christ, my fucking car. So there's a huge dent in the fender and there's blood on the car. And this is a nice car. I think it's a BMW.
I think so. Yeah.
The BMW or Mercedes. It's nice.
Yeah. They all got out to inspect. And then that's, like you said, Barry sees the damage and he's like, fuck, can you see where you're going? I was like, oh, my God. He's just blaming Ray. Now, had Barry been driving, they would have gone over into the ocean.
Absolutely. Thank God Ray was driving. And also, Ray's not the one who dropped the bottle of liquor on himself, you know?
Yeah.
But Barry's just, he gets the feeling he's kind of spoiled. You know, he's this jock. He's kind of well off. He's very good looking. And he's just,
yeah,
he's not used to things, you know, not working out for him.
And Helen says, it was an accident. Leave him alone. And they all seem to think that they've hit an animal like a deer or something. And Julie looks around and she says, oh, my God. And she sees that there's a man's, like a fisherman's rubber boot, and it's got blood on it, and it's thrown off to the side of the road.
Yeah. And Ray's still freaking out because he feels bad because he was driving. He's like, I didn't see it. I didn't see anything. And so they grab flashlights from the trunk and they start walking down the road looking for what they hit. And then Julie screams.
Yes. Well, I also like the part just before that. I think they're talking about the deer. And Helen's like, oh, I hope we didn't hit it. And Barry's like, fuck that. Let's go. Such a nice person.
Girl. He's such a nice person. He's just the best guy.
So like you said, they start going down the road with flashlights. And they're walking. And then they see a man's body lying on the ground. And that's when Julie screams, right, girl?
Yes, yeah. And it's a good scream. So she sees a man's body lying there on the side of the road. And it's obviously the person they hit. And Julie screams. And Ray's still saying, I didn't see it, I swear. You know, and they're like, is he dead? And Barry says, you know, check for his pulse. And Ray's like, no way, I don't want to do that. And Barry is still blaming Ray. He's like, you're the one who rammed it. So Ray kind of reluctantly checks his pulse. And, you know, Ray is not an EMT. Ray is not a physician. But he checks his pulse and there's no pulse that Ray can feel. And he's like, he's dead. And Barry just loses his shit. He's just running around like, shit, fuck. Because this is inconvenient for Barry. So Barry is furious and just losing it. And Julie is concerned. Julie is like, who is he? And Ray's like, I don't know. I can't tell. His face is all messed up, you know. And it's a small town. It's a little fishing village. So if they could see his face, they might be able to identify him because everybody knows everybody. She's like, who is he? And they can't see his face. And Barry's just pissed. He's like, well, what the hell was he doing out here? And Julie's like, we got to call the police and get an ambulance out here. And Barry's like, hey, 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 what's the hurry? This guy is dead. And Julie's like, you're not a doctor. You don't get to make that decision. And Barry's like, use your brain, Julie. We call the police and we're fucked.
It's so crazy. I just love how it escalates. From one moment, they're on the beach. They hit this supposed deer. They get out of the car. They assess the damage. And then they find the boot and then the body. And it's just getting worse. And now the four of them are thinking and using their heads like, what are the options here? What could happen? What should we do? And it's not looking good. And in the defense of like that guy that's supposedly dead, right, that they hit, his face, girl, is like what, SpaghettiOs with meat or like a lawnmower, like a lawnmower went over his face. It's bad.
Yes, yeah, it's bad. Nobody eats cilantro SpaghettiOs with meat. Nobody wants to eat that. It's so messy.
I do like Julie, though. She's like, we got to call the police. We've got to get an ambulance out here. And that's, yeah.
Yeah, Julie's still talking about calling an ambulance. She's like, it was an accident. You know, think about it. What was he doing crossing the road in the middle of the night? And then she's telling Ray, like, you weren't even speeding. You weren't drinking. It was just an accident. And Ray is thinking, yeah, but there's liquor all over the car. And he says, they'll never believe that I was driving. They'll blame it on Barry or they'll blame it on me. One of us is going to go down for this. They're not going to believe us. And Barry says, you know, it's my car, so they'll nail my ass.
It's interesting, their thought process and their discussion. And Ray says, it's manslaughter. We're going to fry no matter who takes the fall. And Barry says, then we leave right now. And Julie says, no way, are you crazy? And Ray's like, the grill is busted. There's blood everywhere. And Barry says, we can clean it up. Come on. And Julie says, listen to yourselves. No, we are going to the police. And he's like, we don't have time for your shit. You understand? We got to move fast. I was like, oh my God.
Right. He's losing his shit. And Julie's still logical. Our girl is still smart. She's like, look, think about it. If there's some of him on the car, then there's some of the car on him. They will trace it back to you. And you're looking at a hit and run if we leave. And Barry says, then we dump the body. And Julie's like, no, you have lost it. You've lost it. And Helen's kind of, you know, she's her future. If you remember, though, on the beach, she was talking about her future. And her future definitely included Barry. She's having three kids with Barry. She's going to elope with Barry and into Europe and all this shit. So Helen's kind of having second thoughts about calling the police, too. She's
bad, girl. She's like, look, like, just pretend like we were never here. And Barry says, we could drag him, and, you know, drag him to the water and dump him. They wouldn't find the fucker for weeks. By that time, all the evidence would be washed away. And when I'm hearing this, I'm like, he's already, like, several steps ahead. Like, you know where his motivation lies. And yes. Ray says, if they found him at all, the currents are strong. The undertow, it could carry him out to sea. And Julie's like, I won't be any part of it. And Ray looks at her and he says, look, I'm scared, Julie. I'm not like the rest of you. I don't have the family or the money to get me out of this. Please. And then Barry, right? He just like steps in and takes over. He's like, this is your future, Julie. Think about it. College. There's your scholarship. The guy's already dead. If we go to the police, we're dead too.
Yeah, and Julie's still, she's still kind of hesitant, but everybody is sort of on the other side of it at this point. And she's, you know, they're deep in this conversation and a car starts coming and they panic. And it's this car slows down near their car. They have their car sort of just thrown, you know, where it stops spinning in the road. So you can tell something's wrong. The car starts slowing down and they realize that it's Max from the party, Max the guy who kind of has a crush on Julie. So Julie goes up to the car And he's like, you know, are you guys having car trouble? And Julie tells him they pulled over because Barry is throwing up. And Barry is over, you know, at the side of the road. And Helen's kind of pretending to help him as he throws up. And just to, you know, to sell the story. And she's like, yeah, we're trying to keep the upchuck out of the new car. Max seems to believe it because he saw Barry drunk earlier. He does look in the rearview mirror and he sees that the fender on Barry's car is dented, though. And Max laughs and said, ooh, daddy's gonna be mad because apparently, you know, Barry's dad has bought him this fancy car. And Ray comes up, you know, and he's Julie's boyfriend. He's like, what can I do for you, Max? And Max says, you can wipe that my shit don't stink grin off your face. And Ray's just trying to get rid of him. And any other time, I'm sure he would have been like, what the fuck did you just say to me? But in this moment, he's just trying to get rid of him. And he's like, sure. Okay, Max, will do. Just will do.
Julie shot him a look, huh? She's gave him a look like, I've got this almost wrapped up. Just go with it, Ray. I noticed that. Like, it was very brief and subtle, right? Isn't that what she was doing? She's like,
yes. Yeah, she's like, mm-mm. It's like, don't push this. And he's like, all right, will do, you know.
I think you're right, though. Any other day, he would have said, fuck you, Max.
Yeah, it's such a rude thing to say. Nobody's just going to be like, oh, sure, I'll wipe this grin off my face, you know. But and he says, you know, you almost got that rich boy act down, Ray.
And the thing that gets me, too, is that from what I've seen from Ray, he's just down to earth, sweet, and humble. I don't know why Max is saying that, other than the fact that they're all hanging out together with people like Helen and Barry.
I think that the other friends are well off. I think Helen and Barry are pretty well off. I think Julia is sort of upper middle class. And I think that Ray might be, you know, just, and it's not like, you know, they're all in high school. These are their family's money. None of these people have any money, but
yeah.
But yeah, this kind of, and Ray kind of doesn't fit in.
Yeah. And Ray just says, we'll be seeing you, Max. And he's like, yep, take care, Julie. And so Max drives away and Barry stops pretending to throw up over the side of the road. And the four of them end up driving to a dock with a pier and they take the dead body in the trunk of the car. So Barry and Ray start to unload this dead man's body from the trunk and they walk him down to the end of the dock. And they're getting ready to dump him into the water. They lay him, like, on the actual dock. And then Barry says, even if he washes ashore in a couple of weeks, he'll be eaten by crabs and small fish. Maybe we'll even get lucky with a shark. And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, he really is ready to just kind of wash his hands clean of this whole thing that's happened, you know, with them. And they set the body down, and then Julie notices that there's this tattoo on the man's arm, and it looks like it says Susie or Susan on it. And Julie asks, should we check his wallet to see who he is? And Barry says, why? And she says, I don't know, okay, just to know. And Helen chimes in, and she says, I don't want to know. And Barry says, let's just pretend he's some escaped lunatic with a hook for a hand and we're doing everybody a favor. And he says, Ray, help me. And then Julie grabs Ray's arm. And I think she's kind of insinuating or trying to tell him, like, don't do this. Like, no. And Ray says, I don't think I can, Barry. And he tells Ray, shit, we agreed. And Julie says, come on, Barry, it's not too late. And he's so pissed off. Barry says, you shut up. Just shut up.
Right? He's furious. She's getting in the way of his plan. And she's never, not one second, has been okay with this plan. She's not okay with it. It's bothering her so much. She's kind of rolling with it because everybody else is so into it. And then Helen kind of gets frustrated and she's like, Christ already, I'll do it. And so she steps up and our girl Helen, she's been drinking a little bit too, and she's still wearing her crown. She won the Croaker Queen competition earlier that night. And, you know, her crown is like bobby pinned to her head. You know, she's still wearing it. She's still rocking her crown. So she's like, Christ already, I'll do it. And she steps up to this body and her and Barry, you know, bend over to pick him up to throw him into the water.
She didn't even hesitate. Like you said, she's frustrated and she's been silent this entire time. But then all of a sudden she's like, Christ already, I'll do it.
She's like, let's just get it done. Get it done. So Helen goes up and she bends over the body. The body wakes up. This person is not dead. His eyes pop open. Everybody is horrified. He reaches up and he grabs Helen's crown. They manage to throw him into the water, but as he's going into the water, he grabs Helen's crown and he's holding it as he sinks. And Helen screams. She's like, help, get him off of me. And they throw him into the water. And then Helen's like, he's got my crown. He's got my crown. And Barry knows. Barry's just on it. Barry's like, you know what? No. And he jumps into the water to retrieve the crown. And he kind of jumps in like in an angry way, right? His whole energy is very like angry. But he jumps into the water and he's, you know, he swims down. He finds the man still holding the crown. He kind of yanks the crown away out of his hands. And the man opens his eyes again. And Barry kind of screams underwater and kind of just pushes himself back, just repels himself away from this guy. And he just kind of screams, no, and he swims away holding the crown.
So there's several things. Like, first, Barry had to, I think, hit that guy's arm to get him off Helen. And then he still yes. took the crown. And then, like you said, he jumped into the water to retrieve this crown and get it. And when he did, the man had his eyes open and he was just holding on to it and he had to kind of like struggle to get it away from him. And then the guy just stayed there, like just down underwater, trapped with like whatever, like seaweed and stuff, with his eyes open, just looking. And Barry floated to the top and he just shoves the crown or the tiara and gives it to Helen, but doesn't tell any of them that this happened.
No, he doesn't tell anybody that the guy woke up, that he kind of had to fight him for the crown a little bit. He doesn't give them any of this information. He's committed to this plan. He is not going to deviate from this plan. He doesn't care what new information there is.
No.
So he's just like, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gives Helen back her crown. And he's like, we're going home now. And never, ever, under any circumstances, speak about this again. He's like, is that clear? It is now merely a future therapy bill. Agreed. And Helen and Ray agree. Julie seems kind of hesitant, but she nods.
Yeah. And Barry says, we make a pact right here and now. We take this to our grave. And Ray, right away, he's like, agreed. And then Barry looks to Julie and he says, Julie. And she nods her head ever so slightly. And he's like, don't you nod your head. You fucking say it. And she goes, yeah, okay. And then he gets in her face. And Barry says, we take this to our grave. Let me hear it. You fucking say it. And never mind that he's got his hand around Julie's neck and he's like choking. He is choking her and threatening her. And Ray is just standing there. I'm sorry to say, girl, but like a pussy.
Right? Yeah, he's choking Julie. And Julie's best friend, Helen, is watching it. And Julie's boyfriend, Ray, is watching it. And I think that they're all three kind of scared of Barry. So first of all, Ray and Helen are on Barry's side. They also don't want their futures ruined. They're like, you know, this guy, you know, we know what it's wrong, but we don't want our futures ruined. We've committed to doing the wrong thing. And so they're on his side, but also I think they're terrified because yeah. Barry is just hardcore and he's furious and yeah. he's an athlete, right?
He's a force to be reckoned with. And yeah. it sucks that it's kind of three against one. So she says, okay, Barry, we take this to the grave. And then he finally lets go of the tight grip that he has around Julie's neck and he starts going to the car. And then she looks at Ray and she kind of gives this look of like, I think she's saying like, I can't believe you just let him like manhandle me and you didn't do anything. And Ray's mm-hmm. like, it'll be okay. And she just looks at him and she almost wants to cry, but I think she just sucks it up and she's like, whatever. And they get into the car.
Yeah. Yeah, so there she's sort of in this now. They're all in this together. And it's just, I mean, from the beginning of their night, their whole lives have just turned around at this point.
It's been altered. Just, shit has changed.
Yes. Yes. So, and they're doing everything possible to keep it from altering it. They want the futures they were talking about on the beach. They don't want anything to change that, but it's been altered.
Yeah. They all leave the dock and all of a sudden you see the Love You silver pendant on the dock there. And I was like, oh, well, look at that. And I think that's kind of a warning sign, right? This man that they killed, for whatever reason, must have had that pendant on him. And when they carried his body on the dock, the love you pendant fell out. Mm-hmm. But we don't know if it's that man from the beginning, or is it that this man has taken it from that other person?
Yes. Yeah, it's the pendant from the beginning, but we don't know if it's the same person yet. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun.
So now we fast forward and it's 1 year later. And the music, I think there's music playing, girl, and we fast forward and Julie's in a dorm on campus at this college university and she looks like shit, huh?
She looks like shit, and it's really hard for Jennifer Love Hewitt to look like shit, but this girl looks like shit. Like, she hasn't been sleeping, she hasn't been eating, she hasn't been outside, she hasn't brushed her hair, you know, she just hasn't been taking care of herself, you can tell.
She looks pale and unhealthy.
Yeah, she does. She looks pale and unhealthy. And, you know, we're probably guessing it has to do with the guilt, the stress, or whatever. And her roommate is there. And her roommate is super cute and, like, energetic. And her roommate's like, you know, we're going to be late. We got to go. We have to leave now. And Julie is like, I changed my mind. I actually don't want to go. And the roommate's like, Julie, you're going home for the summer and you're getting a tan on that pasty tail of yours. And, you know, she laughs and then Julie laughs too. And then they go. But you can definitely tell Julie has been through some changes. She's not the same upbeat, peppy girl from a year ago.
No, she's different. Her demeanor, her personality is different. I don't think she's doing good in school or doing well in school, as we're about to find out. And she's getting a ride home to go back to Southport, to her hometown where she was, you know, before she left school. And so Julie gets home and she's settling in. She's having dinner with her mom. And her mom seems sweet, you know, but the mom can tell that she's been off. She's not the same as she was from last summer. And the mom's like, she just flat out asks her, are you on drugs? And she's like, what? And she's like, well, I just want an honest reaction, you know. And she's like, no, mom, no drugs. And the mom says, well, then what is wrong? I mean, you look like death.
The mom's not wrong.
No. And Julie's like, yeah, well, I've had a rough year. And, like, that's to say the least, you know, like, she's been through some shit and the mom doesn't know, like, what's eating at her. And so they had finished having dinner and Julie's looking at these old photos of herself and her family and her previous achievements and awards. And they show, like, a video of Julie with her dad. And, you know, we learn that her father passed away. And so, like, the mom walks into the living room or whatever and she says, you've got some mail. A letter came today, although it's not your report card. That came last week. And Julie says, mom, I know it looks bad, but the summer session went really well. And her mom's like, no bullshit. She says, well, it would have to, because according to the dean, you only have one more chance. And she's like, it's not that serious, really. And she's like, what happened to my daughter? I mean, you went away. You don't call and you don't visit. Your father must be turning over in his grave.
The guilt. She just dropped a guilt bomb on her.
Stabbing that
boom,
knife.
Boom, Julie.
Stabbing that knife into Julie.
Twist that knife.
And she starts crying, huh, girl?
Yeah. Poor Julie. Like, and it sucks for the mom. You know, it sucks. Your kid stops calling. Your kid doesn't visit. She has no idea why, but Julie is going through some shit. You know, and it seems like, I even think that the summer session, maybe she did the summer session just to extend her time at the university so she wouldn't have to come home until the middle of the summer. I feel like she's just doing everything she can to not come home and not have any more connections to this town.
It could be. It could be. Also, like, the summers, I think what I remember from college, like, the summer can be 3 months or 2.5 months, but you can take a summer session that's 4 to 6 weeks. So maybe that's what she did and she's coming home. But either way, I think her GPA is suffering and she doesn't want to get removed from the dean's list. And if she does, then say, like, kiss your ass goodbye to the tuition coverage and all that.
Yeah, I'm sure her scholarship is dependent on grades. And Julie's a smart girl. I'm sure this is shocking. I'm sure when her mom got that report card, she was shocked, because all through high school, you know, she is very smart. It's not just grades. Her conversations are very intelligent.
Yeah.
This is a smart girl and she's under a lot of stress, apparently.
I think she's just suffering. And if, like, if you're dealing with all of that, she's like, I don't even care about grades or school or any of that. Like, it's too much for her.
Yeah.
But apparently her father must be rolling over in his grave.
Poor thing. Like, all the stress, just the practical stress of almost losing your scholarship and, you know, the first year of university on a scholarship is just super stressful, I'm sure. And then on top of that, she has all this other guilt and baggage. And then the mom just threw that on top of it. Just a little cherry on top, right?
She's a gaslighter.
So, oh, my God.
So Julie has tears running down her face, and she opens this letter, and she's, like, in shock. The letter reads, I know what you did last summer, exclamation mark. And she's like, who sent this? There's no name or return address on the letter. And the mom's like, your guess is as good as mine. Why, what does it say? And she's like, nothing. And she runs upstairs, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she's freaking out. She's freaking out. She knows that this is connected, of course, to what she did last summer. She knows it's connected. And she's just kind of beside herself. And we show her kind of sort of just sitting in her room, just kind of thinking about it. And there's a shot of her yard. And I heard a little clicking, like a little ding, ding.
It's that
I never noticed before.
Yeah, it's the pendant, isn't it?
It's the pendant. Yeah, so the person, it sounds like the person with the pendant is outside watching her through her window and kind of playing with this pendant. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get that part until this last time I watched it. I'm like, oh, that's creepy. He was outside.
I think he was close. Yeah, he was outside mm-hmm. and he was close and just kind of surveying and watching her probably. And she has the note in hand and she's kind of studying it herself.
Yeah, she's kind of thinking about it and studying it. So the next day she goes to find Helen. And of course, you know, the last time they haven't talked, apparently, the last time she talked to Helen, Helen had plans to live in New York. And she goes to where Helen's sister Elsa works, the bitchy sister. She goes to find the bitchy sister Elsa. And she's like, hey, Elsa, do you have Helen's number in New York? You know, I need to contact her. And Elsa's just so snotty about it. But basically she tells Julie, like, no, actually, Helen is not in New York. She works in this shop that you're in right now. She's in this town, in this shop, and she's right there. She kind of points at her, and poor Helen is, you know, cashiering or something at another counter.
It's funny, girl. She's like, fact right? check, Julie. I suggest you... fact check, Julie. I suggest you look 10 paces or steps to your left, because that's where right? Helen is.
Just the worst way to tell somebody any information at all. And Julie's just like, thank you. But Helen's there. And Helen, of course, is kind of surprised to see Julie. And I feel like she has a little moment of like, oh, you know, now she knows that I didn't go to New York and do what I said I was going to do. I feel like Helen has like a little moment of maybe shame or embarrassment about that. And she's like, yeah, I went to New York for a little while. Didn't really work out, you know. So Julie shows her the note and she says, somebody knows, Helen. This note means that somebody knows. And Helen's like, who could know? It's been a year. So Helen and Julie go to see Barry. And apparently Helen and Barry have broken up. Helen only knows he's in town because she saw his car at the gym. So they don't talk at all. She only knows he's there because she saw his car at the gym. And Barry sees them walking up. He has this, he lives, I guess his parents have an estate and they're crossing this huge lawn to walk up to Barry's house. And he's out on his deck and he's a dick.
It's crazy how things have changed, right? And I think Helen even asked Julie, she's like, do you ever see him around, you know, on campus? And Julie says, it's a big campus, you know, like, mm-mm. So apparently mm-hmm. Barry and Julie are going to the same university.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that. They don't talk at all. And I don't think they even really would have talked if this stuff hadn't happened. I think they only talked because Julie was friends with Helen and Ray was friends
with Barry. I kind of geeked out and fell down the rabbit hole. Like, she's going to a university within the state of North Carolina, girl. So remember, she was supposed to go to Boston. Ray was going to go to New York. Helen was going to go to New York. Barry was going to go whatever, you know, university. I don't know. Maybe it was Duke. I don't know. But now her and Barry are going to like an in-state university. We find out that we haven't gotten there yet, but Ray does not go to New York. And then Helen's plans failed at New York as well. So it's interesting how things are just different.
Yeah, they did all this to salvage their futures, you know, their dream, their plan. And none of them really did what they said they were going to do so far, or at least not yet, you know. Barry was a dick the whole time. You know, Barry was a dick last year. He's still kind of a dick. You know, he's like, this, they show him the note and he's like, this is nothing. Oh, what a crock of shit. And then on top of that, he's like, you two should look in a mirror once in a while. You two look like shit run over twice. And Helen says, you're a prick. And Helen is so fucking right.
Yeah. They're like, Helen says, we need help. And he says, yeah, I'll say, you two look like shit run over twice. But he's such a jerk, because you're right. When they show him the note, he's like, ooh, I know what you did last summer with a crock of shit. It's just like, he's not very helpful. And Julie says, you know, we can't ignore this. And he says, come on, Julie, how do you know this is even related? You did a lot of things last summer. And she says, yeah, well, only one murder comes to mind. And he gets so mad. You shut the hell up.
Yeah, he does not like her using the M word, right? He does not like the murder word. He's like, shut the hell up.
And his Julie mom's says, inside, right? Like, the door's open, the mom's on the phone inside.
Yeah, the mom. I feel like his parents don't, I don't feel like they pay attention to him, make sure that he's, you know, the alpha male and that he's achieving things. But I don't know if they care if he's a good person or not, honestly. I don't think the mom cared much about that. Because he's really not trying to hide it from her.
Yeah, Barry and Julie start to argue. And she says, he was still alive when we dumped his body in the water. And Helen says, do we have to rehash this? The guy was in the middle of the road. And Julie says, his name was David Egan. And Barry, with like such attitude, he's like, who? And she says, David Egan. And then Julie just tells him that she was reading in the paper that his body was found 3 weeks after they ended up doing this. And they called it an accidental drowning. And she says, you can call it an accident all you want, but he died because of us. That's certain. I love how she says that. Oh, girl. She's like, there's no if, ands, right? Or buts. Like, we caused this.
Yes. Yeah. She's like, you know, sure. The hitting him in the road, that was an accident. Everything else was planned and premeditated. Throwing him in the water was not an accident. Yeah. Like, and Julie's like, no, don't give me that shit.
She's like, let me remind you, like, you actually jumped in the water to get the crown and we still left him at the bottom of the water.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And Barry's just like, I think he just wants to take no responsibility for it. And he asks if Ray has seen the letter. He's like, well, what did Ray say? Did you show it to him? And Julie says she hasn't shown it to him. She hasn't heard from him. They broke up, and it's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. She says, we broke up last summer, and last I heard, he was working up north. So, like, even them, like, her and Ray don't keep in touch. Mm-hmm. Helen and Barry don't. Helen and Julie have drifted apart.
Yeah, it just ruined all of these relationships.
And Barry tries to think about who else it could be that may be sending this letter, and then he comes to the conclusion that it was Max, because he was there. They remember he pulled up in his truck, and he says, you know, it's probably Max, and he's just fucking around.
So they go down to the docks to find Max. Max works on a boat or at the docks near the boats, and Barry asks Max if he can talk privately. Max kind of reluctantly agrees. He's not a huge fan of Barry. They definitely do not like each other. And once they're sort of alone, Barry grabs Max by the collar and screams in his face, look, you shit, we got your little letter. And Max doesn't know what's happening. Max is like, what the? And Barry's screaming at him. He's so aggressive. He's like, don't fuck with me, Max. You saw us that night. And Max is like, what the fuck are you on? and Barry grabs a hook off the wall, and it's sort of a fish processing plant. So there's all kinds of like hooks and weird equipment that I'm not familiar with, but he grabs this hook off the wall and he holds it to Max's face and he says, "Listen, I'm going to say this once. I'll fucking kill your ass. I got no problem with that." And Max pushes Barry off of him, and Barry kind of drops the hook and walks away. And Max is pissed. He's screaming. He's like, "Don't you test me, motherfucker. I'll call the cops on your college quarterback ass."
Yeah. But Barry went as far as like nicking him in the face and cutting him on the cheek, which is a little bit too much.
Absolutely. You know what? I did not notice that he actually nicked his face. I thought he just sort of threatened him. But yeah, if he nicked his face in that moment. Oh my God.
That's like, I thought that was a little bit excessive.
Yeah, he's pretty aggressive. He's very sensitive about this specific issue, and he's just an aggressive person in general. He's very like alpha male, and he's just, yeah, he kind of just goes hard. He just kind of goes over the top, the screaming in the face and the you know, the holding him by the collar. We're already over the top, I feel like, and then just,
girl, he's just serious about face. That pact about taking it to the grave, and he even got Julian choked her like a chicken.
He sure did. If he'll choke Julie like a chicken in front of her best friend and her boyfriend, he has no problem nicking Max's face.
I don't think so. Yeah, and Barry meets the girls after he does this thing with Max, and he's like, "He won't be bothering you anymore." And he tells them, like, "You know, I scared the shit out of him." And they start walking away. And then ironically, they bump into Ray and they see him there on the port. And Barry says, "So Ray grew up to be a fisherman, huh?" And he says, "Yeah, almost a year now. I work on that one over there on the end." And Barry just, you know, Barry's being himself and he's arrogant. And he says, "That's nice. Have a nice life, guys. I'm out of here." And he leaves. And then Ray looks to Julie and he's like, "You got a minute?" And Helen says, "I got to get back to work. Call me. We can get together." Like telling Julie that. And Julie's like, "Yeah, okay." And she looks to Ray and she says, "You know, we need to talk." So Julie tells Ray that she takes full responsibility for her actions that night. Like, she doesn't blame him. And she says, like, "But I also don't want to know you either." So I think she's ready to part ways with him. Like, she's not in the same place that she was last summer when they were together before this awful, tragic incident happened.
Yeah, and I feel like Julie has very high morals and she just sees Ray differently now. I feel like she just sees all of them in a different light now. And that's not the kind of people that she wants to hang out with. But then she was also a part of it. So she's like, you know, I'm also the kind of person that I wouldn't hang out with. So she kind of feels, she just needs space, basically. She just doesn't want to hang out with them. She sees them differently.
You called it, girl. I think you nailed it. Yeah. She's like, mm-hmm. "I don't want to know you either, but like you're not who I thought you were, and I didn't know you were capable of making a decision like that. And now here we are, mm-hmm. a year later, and I guess what? I still don't want to be with you or know you." Damn, you're mm-hmm. right, girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just changed the way she saw him.
I don't know why she's so sensitive. We would have just driven off, right?
I mean, he's a cute guy. So what? He helped his friend murder somebody. Did we remember? Like, he's a cutie. What are you going to do?
And he's tall. He's tall. Freddie Prinze Jr. Come on.
Come on, Julie. Get it together.
She's so ridiculous.
Yeah, no, our girl Julie is right. And so, you know, Julie takes off and Ray goes back to work. And then we see Max at work and he's, you know, he's still pissed. But this poor dude, he's still at work. He still has to, you know, finish doing his job. So he kind of goes back to work, and we see the hook that Barry threatened him with has been moved. Barry left it somewhere and Max is back in that area and the hook is no longer there. So we're like, huh. And then a figure in a fishing slicker, like a slicker jacket and a fishing hat, appears in front of him. We can't see his face, but this person's wearing fishing gear and he's holding the hook. And he sticks the hook under Max's chin and drags Max across some equipment, kind of towards him across some equipment and onto the floor. So he just hooks Max like a fish, basically, and just drags him and throws him on the floor.
Girl, not to get into anatomy, but the mandibular jaw. I'm just kidding. But no, just think about, like, you can put your finger underneath your chin and feel the bone. And there's a space for, like, a hook to just, like, go right under. And it's so disturbing to think about how he just pulled him by his jaw and the bone.
Yeah. He just pulls him by the jawbone. And this is a big hook, y'all. Just right through his...
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I like that. I like that Max is played by David, that actor from Roseanne Barr, the Roseanne Barr show.
Yes. Yes. It's David. It's David all grown up. I love that.
Right? Darlene's boyfriend, David. It's cute. So Barry goes to work out at the gym, and he likes kickboxing because they show that. And he's taking a shower afterwards, and you get the feeling like there's someone else in the locker room. Like, there's a man that's working at the front desk, but then there's someone around there in the gym and in the locker room. And Barry calls out to see if there's someone there, but there's no reply. So he showers up, walks to his locker, and there's a Polaroid photo. And it shows, it's a photo of his car that's parked outside. And then there's the words written, "I know." And so he looks around the locker room and he doesn't see that anyone else is there. And when he walks back to his own locker, he sees that his jacket is now missing because he had left it open. So now his jacket's gone. He knows that he's received this photo and someone wrote, "I know." So Barry runs outside and the killer is in Barry's car and he's driving in reverse and going backwards away from the gym. So Barry's chasing his vehicle as it drives in reverse and he thinks it's Max and he says, "Max, you're fucking dead." And then all of a sudden the car starts to chase Barry down and Barry's hauling ass and he's running in his clothes. You know, he's got like his long sleeve shirt and his jeans and he's running and he gets rammed up the ass by the car and he crashes through this like wooden structure and goes flying. So Barry's body flies into the air and hits into the ground. The car door opens and it's a man in a slicker like you described. And he walks over to Barry and he reveals that he's holding like a hook in his hand. And you see Barry, and this is the first time you see Barry kind of vulnerable, I think. He's kind of crying, and he's like, "What do you want? I swear we didn't mean it. Please don't." And he's just crying, and I was like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, he's whimpering and crying, and it's, you know, it's a scary situation. But also, Barry's not my favorite. I did not hate that scene. And the next scene, we know Barry ends up being okay because the next scene, Barry's in the hospital and Julie, Helen, and Ray are all there visiting him. And Julie's still talking about, you know what, let's just go to the police. We don't have a choice anymore. Someone actually tried to kill you. Like, this is getting way out of hand. And Barry's like, "No, no, he wasn't trying to kill me last night. If he wanted me that bad, he could have done it. He was just fucking with us." He's like, Barry just... under no circumstances does Barry want to go to the police with this. And Helen's like, "Well, who was it? Who was fucking with us?" And Barry's like, "I don't know. Some guy in a slicker." And Ray is like, "Wow, that narrows it down. This being a quaint little fishing village and all." And Barry's being a dick. And he's like, "Well, you know what, Ray? Since you brought it up, we all know that you have a slicker." Because he's referring to the fact that Ray works in the docks now.
And Ray says, "You are not going to throw this on me." I think Julie tells them, right, that they should just go to the police, but Barry's too fixed on, you know, the idea of this pact that they have, and he says, like, it's too late for that. And Helen says, "Wait a minute, Barry's right. Like, whoever this guy is, he's not going to the police. We could find him. We could talk to him." And then she kind of carelessly asks Julie, "What's his name again?" And I'm like, bitch, how do you not know his name? We're not saying like what's Julie's favorite flavor of ice cream or like her favorite color. Like, this is a man you killed. So if you heard the name one time, it's probably something you should etch in your memory if you have like any sense of being just like a human being.
Right? Like, if even even if you didn't think that it was your fault that this person died, you were pretty involved. You know, I don't understand. Yeah, Helen's just very self-involved. And Julie's kind of frustrated, but she's like, David Egan. She says it again. You know?
Isn't that some shit? She's like, yeah. What's his name again?
That one guy, I don't remember.
Who's that one guy that we hit and killed last summer? I forgot.
It wasn't that important. I remember, I don't know.
I was just too concerned about going to New York.
Oh, Helen. Dear Helen. And Ray's still talking about, he's like, you know what? I don't think we should give up on Max. I still think it could be him.
Doesn't she say something like, well, then find him. Prove Barry wrong. Isn't that what you want? And then Ray says, no, what I want is for you. And she goes, listen, Ray, I want you to get something. There is no you in me.
Mm-hmm. And she leaves and she means it.
I think you're right. Like, I think she'll always have a place in her heart for Ray, but she sees him in a different light, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. She kind of had him on a pedestal and he got knocked right off, you know. Even if it was a circumstance that he got caught in, he didn't do the right thing. He didn't back her up, you know. So she's kind of like, mm. So later on, we see Julie and Helen are still hanging out and they're researching David Egan online. And they pull up all the articles that mention his name. And Julie's kind of showing Helen how to do research on the internet because she's a little researcher. She's a little brain. We love Julie. And they find one article from 2 years ago. So it's a year before the accident. And it says, Susie Willis died of drowning. She was trapped in a car after it went out of control and veered into the reef near Dawson's Beach. The driver, David Egan, was unharmed. So they're like, okay, that's wild. So exactly a year before we hit this dude, David Egan, he had an accident. There was an accident that he was driving and his girlfriend died on that same beach that we were at in that same area. So they're like, that's weird.
And then Julie goes on to explain. She says, Susie was engaged to David. They were going to be married. Wait a second. I remember he had her name tattooed on his arm. I saw it. And then she says, survived by his mother, Claire, and sister, Melissa Egan of Maribel County. Mm-hmm. Which is really interesting, like you said, because now this is where you kind of learn more, right? So apparently the guy that was sitting on the cliff on the edge at the very beginning of the movie is David Egan, and he's got this pendant in his hand that says, love you, and he's flicking it because he's feeling remorseful and guilty about Susie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically when we saw that person on the cliff at the beginning of the movie, it was sort of the one-year anniversary of when his fiance died. And I think he was the pendant that he had was probably belonged to his fiance. So he's, you know, sitting on the rocks, drinking, looking at the ocean, thinking about, you know, of course, the anniversary of his fiance's death is what he was doing in the beginning of the movie.
I don't think he was going to commit suicide at that moment. Do you think, like, he was going to commit suicide?
I don't think so. I had that thought. But it seemed more like he was maybe thinking. I don't know. It seems like a really bad place to commit suicide. So there's a cliff and there's rocks down at the bottom and there's waves, and you'll probably hit a rock. You'll probably die. But you know, you could just end up in a lot of pain for a very long time. It just doesn't seem like a good way. I don't know. I would want something quicker and for sure.
When number one, we don't condone suicide.
Absolutely not. No. No, I'm not giving pointers. I'm just saying if that was his intention, that's sort of not a great choice. There are better choices.
I think what you're saying is he could wind up in the ICU and then just like not go the way he wanted.
Yes. Yeah, he could wind up in the ICU. He could wind up with a broken back. You know, you could wind up with brain damage and just live a long life by yourself. Like, you don't want none of those things. Yeah.
I think he was just reminiscing and thinking about Susie.
Yeah. And it seemed like, and maybe that was a place that they liked to go. Maybe that's why they were in that area. Maybe they went there together. You know, who knows? But he was just sort of reminiscing about Susie and kind of just flipping her pendant, thinking about stuff. Yeah.
And then Helen says, they live in the sticks. What do you think? So Julie's like, well, what have we got to lose? So both Julie and Helen go to visit the residence of David Egan's mom and his sister, Melissa. So Julie knocks on the front door and there's no answer, and they peek around towards the back. And we see that David's sister comes out and she finds them and she's like, can I help you? And Julie says, our car stalled and I was wondering if we could use your phone. So they go inside and, you know, she's hospitable and invites them in. And Julie says, Jody, will you call AAA? And she tells Helen that. And Helen's like, you got it, Angela. And they're kind of using fake surnames, right, girl?
Yes, yeah, they're using fake names because they don't really have a plan. They're just trying to get as much information as they can out of David Egan's sister, Melissa. But they don't want to give her any information about them for sure. And they don't know how involved she is. They don't know if she's the one leaving the letters. They don't know if, you know, she knows the person leaving the letters. So they're just trying to be very careful.
So while Helen is pretending to use the phone, Missy asks Julie, you know, if they're from Maribel County. And Julie says she's from Southport. And Missy tells Julie that she went to Southport High. And Julie says, yeah, I knew you looked familiar. What year? And she says, oh, class of 88. And when Julie probes further and she's asking about her having a brother, she tells her, oh, yeah, David, he was younger, class of 92, but he's dead. He died last July. And Julie has the opportunity to tell her sorry. So she does. She's like, I'm so sorry. And I feel like it just kind of goes to show more of Julie's character, right, girl? Like, she has the ability to genuinely be like, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. And it was more than just, you know, the perfunctory. When you hear that somebody's relative died, of course, you know, you're like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, I'm sorry about that. But it's more than that. She's apologizing for, you know, everything, for her part in it, for her friend's part in it, for the fact that she can't tell her now. There's a lot going through Julie's mind.
I think so. Yeah. It's very like a heartfelt, like, I'm so sorry. And Missy offers to make tea for them while they're waiting for AAA. And Missy says, you know, oh, a guy came to pay his respects not too long after David passed away. And Missy says, yeah, he was a really nice guy, cute and smart. And we were kind of sweet on each other for about 2 minutes, but it didn't work out. He never really said it, but I think it hurt him to be around me. And so we're getting all this new information and we're like, who the fuck is this? And who is this guy? And I remember watching this. I'm like, what? What is this? And so Helen, right? Helen's all brave. She's like, where is this old friend now?
Yeah, I like Julie's treading very carefully, and Helen's like, we came here for information. I'm gonna ask her.
Right. You know what I mean? She's Helen's like, this whole AAA bullshit is just a story. Like, where's this friend?
Yeah. Where is this friend? And Melissa says, you know, his name was Billy Blue. And then Julie decides, I feel like she thinks that that's enough information. They have a name. And I feel like the guilt is kind of tearing her up and she kind of wants to get out of there. So she says, you know what? We're going to go wait for AAA back at the car. You know, I don't want to miss the tow truck when they come. You know, so they're back at the car. And Julie says that being in his house and seeing his sister is hard, you know. We killed a man and we ruined the lives of everyone he knew. And Helen's kind of trying to talk her down. She's like, I don't think we have that power, Julie. And Julie's kind of like, but we did. We killed a man and now everybody who knew, you know, their lives are ruined.
Yeah, like, I think Helen, I don't know. Helen's like Barry. Like, I think they're all about self-preservation. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, if it's that whole thing or if it's me, I choose me. Whereas Julie's like, yeah, absolutely. Julie's not very dismissive of this.
No, Julie, it's really, her conscience is really bothering her. And especially seeing the sister and hearing about how that kind of broke the mom. And she just feels really bad. And so she starts the car and they're about to go. The car is started. When Melissa comes out of her house and she bangs on the window, she says, hey, you forgot your cigarettes. And she has cigarettes and she hands them to Julie through the window. And she says, I see you got your car started, didn't you? And Julie's kind of caught in her lie. And she's like, yep, started right up. And Melissa says, it's funny how that happens. And Julie just drives away. Melissa's basically still leaning on the car. And they are definitely not done talking at this point. But Julie just drives away. She is done. She has to get out of there.
She really does. She's like, time to disengage. Yeah. I was like, whoa. But like, I'll never forget in the theater. And then also whenever I watch this film and I forget about this part, she's like, bang, hey. And I was like, oh my God, I jumped at the part.
Yes, it's very aggressive. And, you know, maybe she's in a hurry. Maybe she's like, before you drive away, don't forget your stuff. But yeah, it was a pretty aggressive bang.
She screamed. She's like, hey. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need coffee. I don't need anything to wake me up. That just woke me up. I'm like, oh my God. It was so scary. But yeah, she's like, Julie says, yeah, it was the damnedest thing. It just started right up. And then she just pulls out and leaves.
Yeah, and Melissa's still leaning on the car, and she just kind of stands there, you know, watching them drive away, like, huh, that was
and
weird.
Also, just going back to what Helen said, she's like, I don't know, Julie, like, I think you're giving us way too much credit and, like, too much power, like, but no, you killed a man, and you changed his life and those family members and loved ones around him.
Yes. Yeah. When you kill a family member, everybody's life is different now. Everybody misses that person. People are different. People are depending on that person. Like, and Helen's just like, no, it's fine. I'm sure it's fine.
I think you're giving us way too much credit, Julie.
Yeah. And Julie's just like kind of done with her. And I feel like she definitely sees Helen a different way. Also, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So they drive home and Julie's ready to drop her off at Helen's house. And she parks in front of Helen's house. And Helen says, so what now? And Julie says, well, now we try to locate this Billy Bloom. And Helen says, maybe he wanted to die. And Julie's like, she's got this face of confusion. She's like, what? Well, David Egan, his girlfriend was killed July 4th, 1 year earlier. Maybe he blamed himself. Maybe he was waiting in the middle of the road for us to hit him. And Julie says, yeah, if that'll help you sleep at night.
Yeah, Julie's just not.
She's over.
Feeling horrible. She saw the sister. She knows about the mom. She's just feeling really horrible, like extra guilty. And Helen's kind of blowing it off. And Julie's just like, that's just not what I'm feeling right now.
Right. Yeah. Like she's factoring in all these things, whereas Helen's kind of just dismissive and like, well, whatever, we're going to keep rolling. And Helen says, what happened between us? We used to be best friends. And Julie says, we used to be a lot of things. And Helen says, I miss you. But Julie's just silent and quiet, and she looks very stern. So Helen's like, yeah. Wow. And she just gets out of the car. And once, like, Helen closes the door, Julie's like, vroom. And she takes
bye. Right? She doesn't make sure that Helen gets into her house. Okay. She knows there's a murderer after them. But she's like, I gotta go. Like, bye.
She doesn't wave bye or, like, let's talk tomorrow. She's like, bye.
Yeah. She's just, And we see Helen go into her house, and of course, you know, she's kind of down because Julie was her bestie, and she's not close with her sister, and it doesn't seem like she has a lot of other friends, so she's kind of feeling down. You know, Julie kind of rejected her. She walks in, and she says hi to her dad, and he just completely ignores her. He doesn't grunt. He doesn't turn his head. He doesn't flip her off. He just completely ignores her and continues watching TV. So she's just kind of like, okay, and she kind of goes about her business. She goes to the refrigerator and, you know, gets some stuff. And we see a person in a slicker and the hat follow Helen into the house. He's sneaking around and Helen doesn't notice and the dad doesn't notice. The dad is just the least observant person in the world. The dad doesn't notice and this guy in the rain slicker makes it up the stairs and into Helen's room, and he's waiting in her closet. Helen goes up there. She has no idea what's happening, and he watches her get ready for bed. And the crown that she won a year ago, the Kroger Queen crown, is on the shelf. And, you know, she won it the night of the accident. She's kind of looking at it. And her sister comes in and she's brushing her hair, and her sister comes in and she's being a bitch, and she's like, "We're doing inventory at the store tomorrow and I need you there early." And Helen's like, "I can't, you know, I have to ride in the parade," because she's the Kroger Queen and the new Kroger Queen will be crowned tomorrow. So she's like, "I have to ride in the parade. The outgoing queen always rides in the parade. It's tradition. There's nothing I can do about it." And so Helen's still just kind of brushing her hair. And Elsa, just to be a bitch, she's like, "You and your hair. So very pathetic." And then she leaves. Just a little bit of, just a little extra bitchiness before you go to sleep. And Helen just kind of doesn't say anything. And she just kind of goes to bed.
Yeah, she's a bitch sister, an older right. bitch sister. And it sounds mm-hmm. like they've got this family store called Shivers, like it's their last name or whatever. So there's the dad that owns the store. He has his older daughter, Elsa, working there. And then Elsa's like, "Well, I can delegate authority." And dad says, "I need you. So, like, I'm going to make you be my little lemming, Helen, and I'm going to make you work there." But Helen's like, I got to be at the parade.
mm-hmm. Yeah, Helen's like, "No, it's tradition. There's nothing I can do about it." So, you know, Elsa kind of leaves her alone. Helen goes to bed. In the morning, Helen wakes up and the crown is on her head. And she did not put this crown on before she went to sleep, but she wakes up and the crown is on her head and there's hair all over the place. There's big chunks of her hair coming off in her hands. It's on the pillow.
She's kind of shaking, falling. Huh, girl? She's
yes. Like... That's terrifying. She's kind of like, "What?" And, you know, she's touching her hair and big clumps are coming out. And she's just like, "What the hell happened?" And, she, you know, she knows she wasn't wearing the crown when she went to bed. So she rushes to the mirror to check on her hair. And written on the mirror... In lipstick, in red lipstick, it says "soon," just S-O-O-N, and Helen screams, and she just punches the mirror over and over again. She's so upset, and she's terrified.
She woke up, and her hair was chopped suey. Cracked out, just, like, fucked up.
Yeah, just not cute, and poor Helen. And she doesn't, and I don't think that she even suspects that it was the sister. Even though the sister's a bitch, and even though the sister was, you know, talking about her hair that night, she doesn't suspect it was the sister, because it feels like this is not something the sister would do. And it says "soon." So it kind of fits the MO of this person who's been messing with them to leave them notes. So he's left Helen a note on her mirror.
Right? Like, she didn't get the written letter, but it's on the mirror with the action.
Yes. Yeah. So she definitely got a message. She definitely got a note. And she's freaking out. She calls Julie. Julie gets in the car to rush over. And Julie, you know, and even though she was, you know, had that little awkward stuff with Helen, she does care about her. So she does rush over the moment Helen needs her. And if she's driving, she's kind of looking back behind her. And she hears some weird clicking and scraping sounds coming from her trunk. And she's like, "Huh, that's weird. It's kind of unsettling." But she, you know, she has something to do. It's very important, you know, so she's just going to ignore it. And she gets to Helen's. She parks her car and she decides to check the trunk because she's been hearing these weird noises the whole drive. She pops the trunk open and it's horrifying, right, girl?
It's nasty.
It's nasty. So it's Max's body. Max is dead. His body is in the trunk. He's wearing the jacket that Barry got stolen out of his locker at the gym. He's wearing Barry's jacket, and he's covered in crabs, just covered in crabs, crabs crawling out of places, crabs just,
he's
awful.
He's dead, like all over his mouth and face.
Yes. Yeah, these crabs are just basically making a home in his body at this point. And she screams. Of course, she screams and slams the trunk and she runs into Helen's house. Barry's already there. And so all three of them, Helen, Barry, and Julie, all go out to check Julie's car.
And like he helps, or I guess Julie gives the keys to Barry, I think, and he opens the trunk. And it's spotless. It's clean. And Julie's like, he came. He came here and he took the body. And Barry's like, why would he do that, Julie? And she goes, why did he attack you, Barry? Why did he make coleslaw on Helen's head? He's fucking with us.
Right? He's fucking with us.
And he doubts her. And she goes, where's your jacket, Barry? And he doesn't have an answer for Julie, right?
He does not have an answer, and he knows damn well that his jacket was stolen the night that he was attacked. So he knows that this person wearing the dead body, Max, wearing his jacket, that means they're connected to the person who was fucking with him. He knows that. But Barry's, he's very good at being in denial, and Barry doesn't say anything.
No, and Julie's like, he's out there, and he's watching us, and he's waiting. What are you waiting for? She's spinning around doing that famous scene.
Yes. It's so iconic that she just, what are you waiting for, huh? And she just puts her arms out and she spins. And I heard that that specific scene, that what are you waiting for part, was a suggestion. There was a kid from the Make-A-Wish Foundation who was on set that day, and the kid suggested it. They put it in the movie, and it's just like classic horror. Aww. Iconics. Yeah, right? And just, he's like a part of the horror movies forever. It's very cute. Yeah, I love like that. And I love that it was a kid. It's such a simple thing to do, but it was effective, you know?
Yeah.
Very cute. I love that. And then Ray shows up, and he's like, hey, I've been looking everywhere for you guys. And Barry's just aggressive and angry all the time, and he just accuses whoever's around, and Barry just assumes Ray's the one fucking with them. He's like, you're going to die, and he punches Ray right in the face. Julie's trying to pull him off of Ray, and she's screaming, stop it, stop. And Barry says, wake up, Julie, he's behind this. And Ray's like, look, he's after me too. I got a letter. And Barry's just still not impressed. He's like, oh, you got a letter? I got run over. Helen gets her hair chopped off. Julie got a body in her trunk, and you got a letter? And Ray's like, whoa, whoa, what body? What body are you talking about? And Barry's like, drop the act. You killed Max and you took my jacket. And Ray looks genuinely confused, and he's like, what? Max is dead?
They're all into it and like getting into this ridiculous argument. And I feel like it's the two men, like it's the two guys. And it's not that it's Ray's fault. It's Barry who's going after Ray. Yeah. But Julie's like, let's just cut this shit. She's like, you know what? Stop arguing. We need to stick together. And I guess Barry just thinks so quickly, and he will target whoever or punch whoever that he thinks is like the answer to their problem. And it's not that simple.
It's not that simple. And he just will accuse. Yeah, he just accuses whoever. He just knows that somebody, things are not going right for him. So somebody has to pay for that. And he'll just put it on whoever's around. And so they kind of calm down, and Julie tells them about David Egan's sister and Billy Blue, who went out to talk to her. And as they're talking, Helen realizes that Billy Blue would have been in the same class as her bitchy sister Elsa. So they decide to go check Elsa's yearbook and see if they can find Billy Blue.
Yeah, I think they're like in Helen's bedroom. So we have the four friends again reunited, and they're in Helen's bedroom, and they're talking about Billy Blue and their visit to see Missy to talk about David Egan, and basically what you said about having Elsa's yearbook and being able to use that or whatever. But Ray seems resistant to the idea, and Julie tells Helen that, you know, she's got to go to the parade just in case the killer shows up. And Helen's like, I don't want him to show up. And she's like, you need to be there. So I think that's when Julie's like, I'm willing to go talk to Missy again and take the yearbook to show these photos. But again, I think Ray seems kind of resistant to wanting to go and do that. And he's like, high school mugshots? Are you crazy? Right, girl?
Yeah, and he's kind of extra resistant to this, and it kind of struck me as weird, because even if you don't think this lead is going to pan out, this is a girl who you kind of want back. You know, this is a girl who you have feelings for, and she's asking you to go do this kind of dangerous thing with her. And Ray kind of refuses, and he lets her go back to Missy's by himself. And I was like, that's an odd choice, but okay, Ray. So that was just like an odd thing that I noticed about Ray's behavior there.
Yeah, and then Ray tries to encourage Julie to do the right thing. And he's like, let's get out of town and let's disappear. And she's like, I've already disappeared. I want my life back now. And he says, let's do what's smart. And I love what she says. She's like, I'm not interested in doing what's right anymore. I want to do what's smart. Because he says, let's do the right thing. And she says, no, I'm not interested in doing what's right anymore. I want to do what's smart. And I think because she kept all this time, right, the whole time since the beginning of the movie, she's been saying, I want to do the right thing and I want to call the police. Let's tell them. Let's tell the authorities. But the three of them were like, no, 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 no. And now he's preaching to her about doing the right thing. She's like, no, that ship has sailed. I want to do it smart. Like, fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. We're in this so deep. Like, we have to do what we have to do at this point to get ourselves out.
Right? Like, it's too deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's like, what's it going to be, Ray? And then they kind of go their separate ways. And we see our girl Helen at the parade, and she has a new cute bob cut, a shorter do. But, she's working it. She looks cute, and she puts her crown on, and she's on this float, and she's looking very cute. And Barry's riding on the float with her, and he's kind of just sitting on the front, just kind of looking around. Just kind of, I feel like he's just keeping her safe because he's an asshole, but he does care about Helen. Like, Helen's his high school sweetheart, and they're both kind of nervous, kind of scanning the crowd.
And Helen, I think that the stress of everything is kind of like drawing them to each other, right? Like, they're kind of rekindling those feelings, and they're being supportive, and like, it's starting to kind of manifest again.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's kind of cute. Like, they're not amazing people, but they are, they're cute. They're young and they do care about each other. It's very cute.
I think the real question is, would you hit them with your car and take off?
I'm not interested in what's right. I'm only interested in what's smart. Just
I do like that, though. I like Julie's final girl energy. She's like, no, I want to do what's smart. Fuck this.
Yes. I love that. We love Julie. She's so smart. So Helen spots somebody in a slicker, and she's like, Barry, over there. And she points, and Barry jumps off the boat. He is on it. He jumps off the boat, and he runs after this guy, and he's pushing people out of the way, and he tackles this guy. And this dude, it's just some random old fisherman. This poor dude, he looks horrified. He looks kind of sad, definitely shocked. He was not expecting to get tackled by a teenager at that moment. And Barry, when he realizes the guy turns around and he sees his face and he's like, okay, this is not the guy. Barry realizes it's not the guy that they're looking for. And instead of, he doesn't apologize. He doesn't say, oh, sorry, I thought you were someone else. Nothing. He just kind of like looks up to the sky and he's like, well, where the hell is he? He just kind of goes on with his business. He doesn't feel bad at all.
No guilt.
Right. Not at all. No, he's only upset that it's the inconvenience. He still doesn't have, he didn't find the person he was looking for. So he's still pissed. It was kind of funny. So, and we see, and meanwhile, while this is going on, Julie has gone out to Missy's by herself. So Ray did not go with her. And Missy comes out with a knife. And she's just, it's kind of scary, but she's basically just doing farm stuff. She has a big property. She does a lot of stuff around her property. And Missy's like, what are you doing here?
And Julie says, I need to find your brother's friend, Billy Blue. And I need for you to look at this yearbook. And she's like, what's this all about? And Julie says, it's too crazy to explain, but it has to do with your brother and last July 4th. What happened wasn't an accident. There's more to it than that. And she says, I know. He killed himself. He went up there to die that night. That's where Susie died. The whole town blamed him for Susie's death. And Julie says, how do you know it was a suicide? And she says, he left a note. I had to keep it hidden from the insurance company because they wouldn't pay if they knew it was a suicide. And she shows Julie the note and it says, I will never forget last summer. And it is the same exact fucking writing from the note that she received.
It's the exact same type of note, all caps. It's just, it's from the same person, like clearly from the same person. And Julie says, that's not a suicide note. That's a death threat. And Missy's like, what are you talking about? And Julie says, your brother didn't kill himself, Missy. I saw him. I was there. And whoever sent this note was there too. She said, he was crossing the road and we hit him. It was an accident. And she says, I saw him. He had Susie's name tattooed on his arm. And Missy says, he didn't have any tattoos. You didn't see anything. Get out of here. And she just starts yelling. And Julie's kind of just kind of stops. You know, she really didn't mean to upset her like that. And Julie just kind of stops. And Missy kind of just storms away. And Julie whispers to herself after Missy leaves. She goes, or maybe it wasn't your brother.
Yeah.
So the wheels are turning. And she's thinking maybe the guy that we hit was not your brother, David Egan.
Yeah. She's like, oh, my God, it wasn't your brother. Mm-hmm. But Missy's like, get out of my house. And I was like, bitch, she's in your yard. She ain't in your house.
Right? She's just like, get out of my house.
Get out of my house.
Poor Missy. So I can see why she's mad, but she confused, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
So Helen and Barry, they're sharing like a little private moment before the pageant begins. Because as we remember in the beginning of the movie, I guess there's the parade and everyone's outside. And then there's the pageant. And then after the pageant, people go out, you know, on the port side and drink and hang out or whatever. But they're sharing a private moment before the pageant. And Helen tells Barry that she saw the killer with the hook, like the real one. And shortly after the pageant begins, and Helen's brought on stage to go ahead and represent herself and like being last year's Croaker Queen pageant winner. And the ladies go on stage and they're doing their performances and whatnot. And Barry's on the top, right? He's on the top stage or the top balcony area like he was a year ago. And he's watching, he's making sure that Helen's okay and that she's safe. And Helen's watching this one girl perform on stage, and she's like,
she
oh,
sucks.
My God.
That girl sucks. Let me just say that.
She sucks. She's singing that song, Fame, I'm Gonna Live Forever. And I don't have a good voice, so I shouldn't be like critiquing
her. She didn't have
her.
A good voice either. That's why we're talking about her.
But yeah, like she's long blonde hair in this one piece bathing suit, and Helen's like, oh my God, Jesus, like this girl is seeing this.
Right.
But she sees the killer come up behind Barry, and it's such a cool scene. I guess not so much that the woman on stage is singing, but she's singing, and then the way they do the camera work, there's a shadow, and you see something like cross behind Barry, and you see the shadow move, and the music kind of fades for a moment, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh fuck, it's the killer, and he's on the upper balcony behind Barry, and no one else knows, but Helen knows because she's on stage looking out that way. Mm-hmm. And Helen screams, no, and he attacks him, right, girl?
Yeah, he comes up behind Barry, he slashes at him, Barry goes down, and Helen is screaming, somebody help him, please, Barry. And she's screaming, and people are trying to shut her up and keep her from going crazy. People are, like, holding her back. And I think they assume that she's, I don't know, she's upset because she's not Croaker Queen anymore or something really ridiculous like that. And they're just like, oh, well, calm her down, you know, hold her back. And she's fighting these people, trying to get away, and she's screaming. And finally, a cop comes through the crowd, and he's like, you know, what's going on? And she tells him, you know, what she saw. So the cop goes up with Helen to check the balcony.
I was so mad, girl, that one guy was just holding her back. I'm like, let her the fuck go. Like, she's not some crazy escape mental patient. Like,
right?
How can you detain her and hold her like that?
I would have bitten him. Fuck that guy. Absolutely, girl. He made me so mad, too.
Right? She's like, mm-hmm. up in the balcony.
Ugh. Ugh. So Helen goes with the cop. And the cop is skeptical the whole time because of, you know, basically everybody's behavior was just like, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? Oh, this girl went crazy. It was just very, not really believing her, not believing that something was wrong. And the cop is very skeptical, but he goes up with her and she stays behind him because she's scared. She stays behind him and the cop looks around. And he says, there's nothing. And then the cop says he doesn't appreciate this kind of trick and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're not taking it seriously at all. The cop is not taking it seriously at all. And the cop says, you know, I'll give you a ride home. And one of the pageant officials comes up and takes her crown away. They're like, we actually need this. And they take her crown out of her hand. And it's just like, and I feel like they all sort of assume it had to do with jealousy or had to do with her crown or wanting attention or something ridiculous like that. And they're treating her like shit. But she, you know, she gets in the cop car with the cop. She's in the back. And, you know, he's kind of laughing at her. He definitely doesn't believe her. And you can tell that she's been telling him the story, and the cop's laughing. He's like, oh, so there was a fish hook? Is that what he used to cut all your hair off? And Helen's like, look, you little shit, fuck, Mayberry ass reject, there's been a murder. She's getting pissed. And I don't blame her. She's getting pissed off. And he's making fun of her, and she's like, look, I'm trying to tell you about a fucking murder. Can you pay attention? And the cop's really not taking her seriously at all. And they come up to this. There's a part in the street where there's a truck blocking the road and the truck has the hood up and the cop stops the car and he's like, I'm going to get out and help. And Helen starts screaming, it's him. It's the guy in the slicker. And Helen's screaming, no. And she knows it's going to happen. And of course, this guy turns around and it's the guy in the slicker and he has the hook. And he sticks that hook right into the cop's gut, just right into the gut. The cop was just no obstacle at all. The cop is dead now. Helen's screaming, and this man with the hook is coming towards the cop car.
I love it, girl. I was so happy.
Right? Fuck that cop.
Fuck that cop. I was so happy. Like, and so, like, again, thinking about the way our body is and stuff, like, if I'm not mistaken, it looks like that fucking the killer, right? In the slicker. Mm-hmm. He used the hook to slam it right under the sternum, like at the center point where our rib cages converge. Like, oh, it's so gross. Like, I think he knew to slam it right in there so he can just like haul the cop off and pick him up that way, which is really gross.
Yes. Yeah, it was so gross. And I feel like the way he hooked Max under the jaw and the cop under the sternum, I feel like it's his fishing background. I don't know if he deals with like big fish and then he hooks them and like has to carry them so he knows how to like hook something heavy to carry it around. It's just gross.
It's definitely thought out though, right?
Yes. For sure. Yeah, it's definitely planned.
Yeah, this damn cop didn't believe her. She tried to tell him on the balcony. And he's like, Barry, who? There's no one up here. And then, like you said, he made the crack about her hair. Oh, did he use the hook to cut your hair? And he's just been a total asshole. And he thinks that Barry's disappeared and Barry's playing a prank. And that's not at all what's happening. No. And while this is happening, Julie's at home and she's searching for more information online about Susie and David Egan. And I love that because, like, she's such a researcher and she's trying to find more information while this is happening. So then, like you said, the cop is dead. The killer has, like, finished him off. And now this fisherman is coming towards the cop car. And Helen's freaking out. She's in the back seat. She's in a cop car. We know that cop cars are meant to not let like perpetrators out of the car. They're stuck once you're sitting in the back seat. So she's trying to open it and she's banging on the windows. And I love it. She uses her high heels to bash the window and break it. And then poor thing, she crawls out through the window and she just like falls right onto the asphalt and she gets up and she starts running.
Yes. Yeah. She makes it out of that cop car and she starts running. And then we see Julie, we see a little snippet of what Julie's up to as this is happening. And Julie, of course, is on her laptop. She's still, you know, looking up as much as she can get. And she comes across this article. And it says, Susie Willis was killed, trapped in a car, survived by her father, Benjamin, a local fisherman. And when she sees that the father of the girl that died in that car crash was a local fisherman, she knows. She's like, this is Susie's father. Susie's father is the one who killed David Egan. Susie's father is the one who's fucking with us. And she puts it all together. And she's like, I got to go find my friends and tell them what happened. So she kind of takes off to go tell everybody what happened. And then we're back to Helen. And poor Helen's just running, right? She's running in her high heels. She runs to the shop where she works. It's her family's shop. She runs to the shop and she's banging on the door frantically. And her goddamn sister is taking her sweet time opening the door. She's like, oh, well, let me walk over casually and get the keys. And Helen's like, please, Elsa, open the door. I'm being attacked. Help. And Elsa's just like, she's just taking her time.
Her sweet ass time.
No sense of urgency. Driving me crazy, right? Like, oh, my God. And so finally, Elsa finally gets the door open and she's like, you could have used the other door on the other side of the building. And Helen's just like, look, I'm being attacked. Lock the other door. I'm calling the police. And Elsa's like, but, and Helen just screams at her, do what I say, goddammit. So Elsa does. Elsa's walking to the other door and she's taking her time because, you know, she has no sense of urgency. She doesn't really think that Helen is telling the truth, or she probably thinks Helen's overreacting. So she's kind of taking her time. And Helen is in the office using the phone trying to call the police. And Elsa gets to the other door to lock it. And he is already inside. Like, you took too long, Elsa. He's already inside. And she sees him and he raises the hook and she screams.
She gets it, girl.
She gets it. She gets it.
I love it, though. She's such a bitch. She's like, what is going on? And she's like, just do what I say, God damn it.
Right? Just no sense of urgency. Like, girl, that was your fault. That was your fault. And of course, you know, of course he got Elsa. And Helen hears the scream. She hears a scream from the office and she knows that he must have gotten Elsa. And she goes looking for her. And she looks around and there's a bunch of mannequins in the shop and they cover the mannequins with clear plastic at night. And she looks around and he is standing in the middle of the store. He's not hiding. He's just standing in the middle of the store and he's put one of the plastic covers over himself and he's just standing with the other mannequins.
Such a good scene. Oh my God, such a good scene. I remember watching in the theater and the music was playing and they were playing Hooverphonic, and I love Hooverphonic's music, but I remember they were playing that and then the music stops. So like the killer has stopped the music. He's turned off the lights. He's killed Elsa. And now he's portraying himself as like a mannequin with a plastic covering over himself. And she's just scanning, right, girl? She's looking around. She's scanning. She's seeing like four or five different mannequins. Everything's really quiet. And then all of a sudden it's like, rah.
Yeah, he jumps at her. Like he comes to life and she's like, oh, shit. He's right there. He's so close to her. She almost got too close. But she runs away. She's running through the shop and he's chasing her. And they have a dumbwaiter in the shop. It's like a huge dumbwaiter, sort of a manual elevator. You can kind of like hoist yourself up using a pulley system. And she's on this dumbwaiter and she's trying to go as fast as she can to the second floor. It's not fast at all. She's hauling
swiping.
Ass.
He's swiping at her, right, with the hook.
Yes. And he's swiping at her as the elevator goes up and the sort of the gap is getting smaller and smaller. And she's trying to pull herself to the next floor. And as soon as she's sort of out of reach, he goes to the second floor a different way. And by the time she gets up there, he's already up there.
She crawls over like the rail and falls out and he's already there.
Yeah, he's already there. And she tries to get away from him. She tries to climb out the window and he slashes at her and she loses her grip and she falls out of the second floor window onto some trash on the street.
Girl, I would have done the same thing. When she gets to that window, you can tell, like, she's hanging off the ledge or the end of the window. Mm-hmm. And she's barefoot, I believe, by this time. She's no longer in her heels. And she's like, oh, my God, I don't want to let go, but I also don't want to be killed. And he comes up to the window and he, like, swipes to hook her and hurt her. And she mm-hmm. just lets go and falls into that alley with trash.
Mm-hmm. She falls in this. A little bit of trash breaks her fall. And somehow she's okay. Like, she's okay. She gets up and she runs. And yeah. She's running through some alleys. And he's, like, right on her tail. And she sees that there's the 4th of July party is still happening. There's another parade. She sees a parade. And it's just right at the end of this little alley. And she's
Tons
running towards
fireworks,
it.
Right? Tons mm-hmm. of fireworks and people and walking. And
yeah. Yeah, and she can just get out into this crowd. And she can just get into this crowd. You know, it's everybody's having a good time. There's lots of people. And she's like, oh, my God, safety. So she's running toward it. And she almost makes it. She almost makes it out into the crowd. But just seriously, like 3 feet before she hits the crowd, he jumps out of the shadows and he gets her.
Ugh, I was so upset with that scene. I was so upset. Yeah, girl, I was a little bit devastated with Helen's death. And I was like, no, because I wanted her to survive. But then also at the same time, like, maybe she did have it coming. I don't know.
I mean, she was not a great person. Did she deserve that? No, not really. We just wanted her to be, like, a slightly better person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think she was final girl material. Like,
no.
Like Jennifer Love Hewitt, Julie James.
Yeah, Julie James is definitely the final girl. But, you know, poor Helen, she was sweet in her own way. But so Julie is looking for Helen and Barry and Ray. She's going to go tell them what she just learned. You know, she just found out that the fisherman, Ben Willis, Susie's father, is actually the killer. She's going to go tell them. First, she goes to where the pageant was held. She goes to the theater where the pageant was held, and the theater is completely empty. And Julie knows that something's definitely wrong because it was not supposed to be over quite yet. So she goes to find Ray at the boat. She knows where Ray's going to be. And she tells him this. She tells him what she figured out. She's like, look, we didn't kill David Egan. It was someone else on the road that night. I think it was Susie's father, Ben Willis. He's a fisherman. And Ray says, but they found David's body in the water. And Julie says, yes, but Ben Willis killed him. Ben Willis killed David Egan.
And then Ray's like, wait a second. You think this Willis guy killed David and then we killed him? And she says, yeah, but what if he didn't die, Ray? What if he's still alive? And Ray's acting a little bit fishy. He says, it's all right. Come aboard. Come inside. And she says, we've got to find Helen and Barry. And he's like, we will. We will. And he extends his hand, huh, girl?
He does. And Julie's kind of hesitant for some reason. He has his hand out and she's about to take it when she notices the name of the boat. The name of the boat is Billy Blue. And she yanks her hand back and she backs away. And she said, oh, my God, it's you. You're the friend. You're the fisherman. And she runs.
Yeah, he's all like, I can explain, Julie, wait. And she takes off running.
Yeah, and he's running after her. Yeah, she's running for her life. He's running after her. And another random fisherman comes out of nowhere and kind of clotheslines Ray. He sticks his arm out. Ray runs into his arm and kind of gets knocked down and he falls down. And Julie sees it happen and she's like, you know, I need to call the police. And the fisherman says, yeah, use the phone on the boat. Hurry. And he points to a boat. So Julie boards this boat and she sees her hat. She sees articles and pictures and they're all about her and her friends.
It's so creepy, girl.
Creepy.
Yeah, she trusts this man. He's like, on the boat, inside, hurry. And she goes in. She's like, okay, la, la, la. And she's looking for a radio or a phone or to place a call. And she sees her damn hat and then those articles. And she's just having like a moment beside herself.
So creepy. Just on the wall, plastered all over the place. Like her and her friends have been this man's project for a year. And he just has all this information about them. And she's just like, holy shit.
Shit. Yeah. He's like, are you in some kind of trouble, child? So he gets on the boat and he's like, are you in some kind of trouble, child? And she says, yes, I'm in a lot of trouble. And he flicks the pendant and you hear it chime. And it's the same thing that we heard before, like in the beginning of the movie and stuff. And
outside her window that night, like he was watching her.
Mm-hmm. Outside her window. And so Ben Willis, this killer, he says, that's a shame. Being that it's 4th of July and all, kids like you should be out having fun, drinking, partying, running people over, getting away with murder, things like that.
Not to put, you know, too fine of a point on it, but yeah, he's like, getting away with murder, things like that. And Julie, of course, knows exactly who it is. She says, you're Ben Willis. And he says, good. I see you've done your homework, too. So he's done his research on her and her friends. And he's like, you know, you did your research, too. I can respect that.
I love that girl. She faced the devil and she's like, it's you. You're Ben Willis.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And of course, Julie runs away from him. She goes out onto the dock. I mean, not onto the dock. Sorry. Onto the deck of the boat. She's still on the boat. And she says that they have already left the dock. They're out. Yeah,
doesn't she see Ray? And he's like waking up and coming to, and she's like, oh shit.
Yeah, Ray is on the dock far away. He can't help her, and she's on the boat with Ben Willis.
She's on the boat, like sailing away. She's like, shit.
Yes. Yeah, she's like, shit. And Ben Willis speeds the boat up, so she's going farther from the dock. And we love Ray. Ray gets his ass up. He jumps on another boat and goes after her. He's just like, boom, I'm gonna help her. And he's just like out there. Mm-hmm. And Julie hides below deck and she's holding a grate over this opening so Ben can't get in. And Ben Willis sees her down there and he's trying to pull the grate up and she's screaming and she's holding it down. He's trying to pull it up. And while this is happening, Ray boards the boat. And Ben Willis sees him right away. And Ben Willis says, welcome aboard, Ray. And he slashes at him with the hook. So Ben is sort of distracted with Ray at the moment. And Julie is below deck. She's barricading herself below deck. And she sees the anchor drop. And up on deck, Ray and Ben are fighting. Ben grabs a spear and tries to hit Ray with it. And Julie screams, Ray, and distracts him. And then Ben hits him and Ray goes overboard. I don't know why she screamed Ray. I don't know why she did that. He was aware that she was in danger. He was aware that, you know, that's why he's on the boat, girl. But she screamed and distracted him and he went overboard. So again, Julie is just on the boat by herself with Ben again.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not good. And before that part two, girl, Julie tried to be resourceful and she grabbed a flare gun and she was going to use it to defend herself. And then he accelerated the boat or the ship. And then she went like this and she let the flare gun go and it fell off or like overboard. And I started laughing.
Like, shit, girl. That was almost a good idea, right? That was almost a good weapon. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I was like, that was awesome. You're smart and you get points, but fuck. Like, you should have held on to that flare gun tighter.
You should have, girl. You should have. It was important. Julie tries to get herself out of the room she's barricaded in, but Ben has put something over the opening, so she has to find another way out. And she opens this other door, and it's a freezer area. This is where they store all the fish. It's just a room full of ice, like 3 or 4 feet of ice. Like you slosh around in there in the ice. And she's kind of in there hiding out, looking for a way out. And the ice shifts. And oh my God, Helen is in there. Helen's body is in there. She moves a little bit more. Barry's in there too. And she's just freaking out. And Ray has gotten himself back on the boat. Like, yes, Ray. Ray's gotten himself back on the boat, and he hears her screaming. And the fisherman hears her, too. So they both know exactly where she is. And Ray works on a boat, so he knows about boats, and he uses a pulley. There's one of the pulleys with a hook on it. He uses this pulley that's attached to the boat, and he swings it, and he hits Ben in the face, and he knocks him down.
I love that. Yeah, right? I love that Ray is so smart when it comes to, like, being a fisherman, the port, the boats, how to fish, the different tools and like whatever technology they use and whatnot. But yeah, Julie comes out of that ice area where they store the fish and she crawls over like this wooden barrier, right? And then she gets up and like she wants to come out to the top of the boat, but that's when Ben Willis opens that trap door and she screams and then Ray throws that fucking pulley that you said and it hits him in the face. But otherwise he was ready to like hurt Julie, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He was about to get her. That's definitely his intention. And he definitely had the opportunity. But Ray hit him in the face with that pulley. And then Ray swings down like a pirate and he helps her out of the hiding place. And I love that.
He's so cool. I love him.
Right? We love Ray. We love him. We think Julie should give him another chance. Totally up to her. But I'm just saying, if I had a vote, I would vote to give him another chance, you know.
Yeah, and then Ben Willis is seemingly knocked out. And Ray, like, extends his hand. And Julie screams. She's like, ah. And he's like, come on, Julie. So, like, he pulls her out from that lower area below deck. And once they get out and he pulls her out, of course, Ben Willis wakes up, right? And he, like, punches Ray. And then he goes for Julie and gets in her face. And I think he puts like one hand on her neck and he's ready to like hook her and like slash her. And she screams. And that's when Ray does his thing, right, girl?
Yes. Yeah. So Ray works on a boat. So he knows what he's doing. And as Ben raises the hook over his head, Ray releases a lever and it's somehow... It moves some ropes, it moves some pulleys. I don't know how boats work. It looks very complicated, but he releases a lever and that causes some stuff to move around. And basically Ben's hand with the hook gets caught up in the rope and he's stuck and he gets pulled up towards the top of the sails and his hand gets severed. And he gets tossed into the ocean. So his hand got torn off and the rest of his body has been tossed into the ocean.
It's good. Nice. It happened so quick. I forgot to mention he's like all in Julie's face while like after he punched Ray, he's like, happy 4th of July, Julie. And she's like, please, it was an accident. And he says, I know all about accidents and let me give you some advice. Next time you leave a man for dead, make sure he's really dead.
Damn.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome, though. He just got his hand severed. He got lifted in the air. He got his body thrown into the ocean.
I loved it. I love that part. And it's cute. And Ray and Julie hug. And Julie's relieved. She's like, you know, we never killed anyone. Ben killed David Egan. And, you know, Ben killed Barry and Helen. We didn't kill anybody. So she's very relieved. And Ray says, you know, this whole year has been killing me. I had to know, you know, who he was. That's why I went to see Missy. I'm sorry I didn't tell you, but I wanted you back. I couldn't lose you again. So that's why he gave Missy the Billy Blue name. He wanted to know who it was. It was killing him too. And I feel like that makes Julie see him a little bit differently again because she thinks that he was okay with it and he wasn't. It was bothering the shit out of him the whole time. So she's kind of like, you know, and plus he saved her. He gets so many points for saving her. Absolutely.
I love that part. He's so sweet. He's like, I couldn't lose you again. I love you, Julie. No one gets me the way that you do. And she's like, I understand your pain.
It's so cute. It's like their little thing. It's so cute. And you know, they're on the docks and the cops are asking if they have any idea why he was trying to kill them. And they say, no idea. None. Both of them at the same time. They're like, nope, no clue.
They're like, no.
Yeah. We're not going to get into this shit. It's over. Case closed. We're out. I love that. And they pull up a net.
Oh. Yeah. You see like a net that shows up with the hand and the hook, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see the hand and the hook and you're like, yes, he got so fucked and his hand got torn off. I love it.
I think the Coast Guard says, well, don't worry. The body will turn up. They usually do.
1 year later, you know, everything looks better. Julie's on the phone with Ray, and she's talking about how she made the dean's list, and she's in the locker room of her university. She's about to take a shower.
And it sounds like things are better too, right? Because says, I'm going to see you in a couple of weeks. God, I cannot wait. I love New York. And she's like, yes, I love you more. So I'm like, that to me means that they're on their right paths now. Again, yes. Maybe.
Yeah. Their futures are going the direction they're supposed to be again. Julie's on the dean's list. Julie and Ray are back together. It's going well. And while she's getting in the shower, one of Julie's friends says, hey, Julie, you got some mail. And she sees a note, and her blood kind of runs cold. You see her just kind of freeze. There's a note in the mail, and she opens it, and it says, Julie James, it's an invitation to a pool party. And she's like, she's so relieved. She's like, oh my God. You know, I can't believe that I thought for a second that it was happening again. And she's like, oh, you know, thank God that's not happening. So she breathes a sigh of relief, and she goes back. She goes back to get in the shower. And written on the shower, written in the steam from the shower, says, I still know. All caps, just like the letters. Fucking horrifying.
And don't we hear the pendant ching?
We hear the pendant ching, and then the glass breaks. Somebody comes through the glass. So this is not over. It's such a good movie, right, girl?
Yeah, it's so awesome. I love how it ended. I remember in the theater, I can picture it like it was yesterday, just on the big screen. She hangs up the phone. She goes back in the shower, you know, and it's all foggy from like the steam. I still know. And you hear like ching. And then it's like, shh, and he breaks through the glass. And she's like, oh.
I love it. I love it. It's so cool. She's such a good final girl. She's so fucking smart. And she was so caring too. You know, she was so caring. She almost always wanted to do the right thing. And she just did her research. I love it. She made it.
Yeah.
Good job, bitch.
I love how they showed her on her laptop. She was always researching. She was a good student. She was smart. Just like a really good person. And she never wanted to go with the whole story of like trying to hide the body and like they never killed anyone. She wanted to be honest and report it to the police, but they didn't want to. Girl, it makes me want to go get that book that I read when I was like 11 or 12.
Get it. I want to read it. You should get it. I didn't even know it was a book, to be honest. I did not know it was based on a book. I thought it was just a movie. That's cool. That's so cool.
I'm
going
to find us copies, and then I'll get one for each of us.
I'm excited. I want to read that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's a cute short read, but, you know, it was so, like, impactful when I was 11. I was like, oh, my God. And then, God, this came out October of 1997, so I think I was, like, 7. Yeah, I was, like, 17 when I saw this, and I read the book, like, when I was 11, so it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Well, if you guys have any stories that you want to share with us, please feel free to send us an email at finalgirlprojectpodcast@gmail.com.
We would love to hear from you. And just stay safe, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Stay safe. Thanks for listening. Have a good one and take care. Bye.
Bye.